Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
On average, we will all lose about 80 strands of hair a day. But when does hair loss become a problem that really needs specific attention and treatment? Well, consultant dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman is here to tell us just that, and plenty more, I hope, as well. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Claire.
Lovely to have you with us.
Thank you.
So hair loss happens.
Yes.
Every day,
yes,
to every single person.
Yes.
But sometimes it crosses a line and becomes a cause for concern, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Well, the simple answer to that is when the patient is concerned. Mm-hmm. As you say, we all shed hair. There are always a few hairs in the hairbrush. But when they start to say, I'm shedding a lot more, or I'm seeing a patch of hair loss, or my fringe is going back, I'm getting frontal recession, or I'm losing it up here. So once the patient has any concern, my feeling is go straight to the GP and deal with it early. Don't sit looking at that for a year, wondering if you have a problem. It's very easy for the GP to assess you and reassure you or to refer you.
Okay, because a lot of people might feel, well, as you get older, we're all, whether we're male or female, we're all going to experience some level of hair thinning. Should we not accept that? Is that what we're saying?
What I would say is, if it bothers you, don't accept it. Personally, I've no intention of accepting that.
Right.
But the next person may not mind having hair thinning.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see, say, a 100-year-old having a birthday celebration, it used to be on the news, now it's very common, they never have a big, thick head of hair. So at the age of 50, we only have 50% of the hair follicles we were born with. But like so many other things, we used to survive much beyond 50. Now we're still in the workplace, we're professionals, we're active well into our 80s. So there are plenty of very simple treatments, very safe, that can actually prevent that hair loss if you so choose.
And what are they? Tell us.
So the simple ones are minoxidil, it's a tablet, spironolactone, which I often use to complement those. There's another drug, finasteride.
Are these all on prescription now?
These are prescription drugs. Now, you can get the over-the-counter topical minoxidil. The best one is 5%. I say don't waste your time with the 2%. And you can use the topical lotion. But it really is very messy. It can cause a lot of scalp dermatitis. It's hard to use. And if you've got fine hair, it's going to make your hair look lank and greasy, so you'll end up washing it all the time. If you've very little hair or you're a balding man, you might have no trouble using some topical lotion put into your hair every day.
Mm-hmm.
The tablets are far superior.
Right. But are these things that you can ask your GP to prescribe for you, or do you need to go to a dermatologist?
No. So when you say ask your GP, the first thing I would do would be I would present myself and say I'm worried I have a hair problem and get assessed. So the first thing you have to do is make a diagnosis. So you have to exclude all other causes of hair loss before you say that is only age-related hair loss.
Mm.
So you don't just go straight in and treat for age-related and miss thyroid disease, iron deficiency, vitamin D deficiency, or many other medical conditions.
Okay, so they might all be at the root of this problem that,
yes,
that people are experiencing.
Yes.
Okay, so many questions coming in, because this always happens. The minute you start speaking, they fly in. This one is from somebody who is 22 months postpartum. So the baby is almost two. I'm experiencing hair loss for the past 6 months, clumps of it coming out in the shower. And she says, I experienced hair loss in the first few months after giving birth, but then it stopped. And she just wants to know, could the current hair loss still be related to giving birth? And is there anything she can do?
No, I don't think so. So it's very important not to just label that as childbirth and ignore it. She needs to get it checked out. So what she experienced after the baby was called telogen effluvium, which is a normal shedding where the hair has gone into the resting phase after the physical stress of childbirth. And after 2 to 3 months, you shed a lot. It can be quite distressing, but you just need to be reassured it's all going to come back. If she has a few babies in quick succession, this happened to me, your hair is much slower to come back and you may well end up cutting your hair short for a while to give it a break. But if she has gone and developed another episode out of the blue at 22 months, it should not have anything to do with childbirth. Did she have an illness? Did she have a stress 2 to 3 months ago? Did she have a car crash? Did she have a psychological stress? Did somebody pass away? So there could be any other causes for that, or she could have developed iron deficiency anemia, thyroid disease, hormonal disturbance? Is she on a pill? Has she started to use the Mirena coil? There are so many other causes mm-hmm. for hair loss that must be ruled out.
But you're pretty much convinced that's not related to having a baby 22 months ago?
Yes.
Okay, all right, so she needs to check it out. Right, Maureen would like to know what's the best solution for losing hair post-menopause. A lot comes out after washing it. She's currently on HRT and testosterone gel.
Okay, well, the first thing is the testosterone gel might be aggravating the problem. And that is the difficulty with testosterone. It's fabulous for certain features of menopause and building up muscle, libido, etc. But the side effects can be acne and hair loss in genetically susceptible individuals. Also, her HRT has to be carefully chosen, because if she has quite an androgenic HRT, which is giving her benefits that she may have needed, and that's why she was given testosterone, she may be getting too many androgens and she may need to balance it with the estrogens. So I'd discuss her HRT with the doctor. And again, I don't accept anything as just label it as, oh, that must be menopause, without ruling out all the conditions. Otherwise, mm-hmm. so many things are missed.
Yeah. And again, it comes back to not accepting things, you know.
Yeah.
This is just something that I'm going to go through. No, you say, you've got to find out what's behind
find
it.
Find out first. And then you might have to accept, yes, this is something I'm going to have to deal with.
Because if the hair is gone, you know, can you ever get it back? Without a hair transplant?
No, usually no. Once the follicle is gone, it's such an important point. It's like
the
bulb. It's like the daffodil bulb. When somebody has pulled it out of the ground, you ain't going to get another daffodil there. But if you can get hair at the stage where it's going and it's becoming miniaturized and it's shrinking and becoming thinner, that's when you get in with the treatments and you restart those hair follicles before you lose them.
Right. So don't be sitting around waiting to
see what happens. It's the most frustrating thing as a dermatologist, for people to come in very distressed, because our hair is our crowning glory and it's very distressing. But then when they tell you that they've been 2 or 3 years wondering if they've a problem, I find it very sad, because if we'd got them earlier, we could have helped them earlier.
And listen, you're worried as well about this trend, and I see it in my own house, young girls pulling their hair back into that very smooth ponytail.
Yes.
Which looks lovely and it's neat and all the rest, but that could be doing harm.
It could be if they're pulling it very tightly. It can cause traction alopecia. And you'd see this very commonly in people of black skin who have cornrows. Mm-hmm. And when they pull the cornrows,
they're braiding it tightly.
They're braiding it very tightly. And you'll often see in the older people with the cornrows start further back. Because when they were younger, the cornrow might have started on the front of the scalp. It's moving back, because as you pull very hard on the hair follicle, you're basically scarring it and pulling it out. So what I say is, get that hairstyle. It looks great, but maybe just tease it into a very gentle ponytail. And if necessary, use some gel or wax or something else clever to just make it look shiny and flat.
Make it look shiny and flat, but
without
don't
pulling
the head off yourself.
Yes, yes.
Now, a 69-year-old woman here who says, my hairline is receding over the last 3 years and I'm now bald from the forehead to the crown.
Okay.
But my general health is very good. Would you be concerned now that the damage has been done there?
Yes, but still we could stop her getting
more
hair loss. Mm-hmm. So she has probably got a very difficult condition called frontal fibrosing alopecia. And it's probably the most important thing for us to mention, because there's an epidemic of it out there at the moment. It was first recognised in the late 90s. We never saw it before, 97, 98.
Really?
It didn't exist. So we think it may well be related to a chemical or an allergen getting trapped in the hair follicle. And it's most common in middle-aged women, though I've seen it in women in their 30s and I have seen it in a few men. But it's most common in menopausal middle-aged women. And you see, it can get misdiagnosed as menopausal hair loss. The difference is, this is a scarring alopecia. So for every hair that goes, it's gone. So the first sign of it and there are many different physical manifestations, but the first sign is to lose that little bit of fuzz we all have along the edge of the hairline. And I know everyone's going to go straight to the mirror.
The baby hairs.
So one type of frontal fibrosing alopecia, we'll call it FFA, you lose those first. Then you'll see little bits of inflammation at the base of the hair follicle, little crusting, often along the front of the hairline, but you can have it in patches here too, or indeed you can get it in the middle. But the common form is the front, and people don't notice that their hairline is going back. what you should notice is, are you observing that your forehead is suddenly looking bigger or shinier, or even that the veins in your forehead are looking more obvious because the forehead skin thins with this? One of the first signs is loss of the eyebrows. And again, people say, oh, well, you'll lose your eyebrows with age. Well, you might when you're in your 80s and 90s, but you certainly shouldn't be doing so in your 50s.
Oh, that's interesting, because I have somebody here who's 62 and they say no thinning on the head hair, but 80% of the eyebrows are gone.
I would be taking them very seriously straight to a dermatologist, because the dermatologist may see things she can't see. The other features you can have are lots of little bumps on the face, and people come in and they've been diagnosed with rosacea, but they've loads of little bumps. When I check the hairline, it's going on there. Nobody notices. The facial skin can get blotchy and brown, and you can get broken blood vessels. So you can have a red, blotchy, brown face, loss of eyebrows and a receding fringe. And it's very distressing.
Treatable. Tell me it's treatable.
Yes, we can manage it, but we have to get it early. And my advice there is, if you go to the doctor and the dermatologist says, look, you've got a very serious hair condition here, we need to use strong medications, or we need to use steroids for a while, or even immunosuppressants, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have to put you, the most common forms would be minoxidil and finasteride or dutasteride, or an anti-inflammatory antibiotic. And a lot of people will say, oh, well, I don't think I should be taking tablets. It's just my hair. But for us, it's a dermatological emergency, because we know how they're going to feel about it in 2 years when it gets worse. And then they say, I'll go on the treatment. That always upsets me, because if they had done it 2 years earlier, I can do more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy to cure and switch off, but we can. So let us.
And are they heavy duty medications in terms of side effects?
No.
Or a toll that it would take on somebody?
No, but when you know, Claire, like all medications, if I was to list the side effects of Panadol and tell you it's the most common cause for liver failure, will you ever take another Panadol?
Mm-hmm.
We have to
Everything
give you
has
the
its
list.
Risk, yeah.
They have side effects, but at the end of the day, nobody wants to take chemotherapy, although it can kill them, but you don't want cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not want to take the medication, but you do want your hair.
Now, I have a question in here from a man who says, I've been going bald for the last 15 years. I shave my head. It doesn't tend to bother me all that much. I would like a hairline again, but if it doesn't happen, it's no big deal. But his question is it too late now to try using products like Rogaine?
So that's a good question, but it very much depends on his age, the pattern of his hair loss, how many follicles are left. I never think it's too late for anything. What I would advise him to do is to go to a very reputable hair transplant clinic, such as the one that I've no association with, the Hair Restoration BlackRock, which is overseen by the most passionate dermatologist, the only dermatologist in Ireland who only deals with hair, Dr. Dimitri Wall. And they will assess him for medications and whether or not he will get a benefit from hair transplant. But there, he has to have enough hairs to transplant. So
and they're taken from the back, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, but we can, they will lose hair at the back. It was thought for a long time that you never lose the hair at the back, but you do. The back hairline goes up, the front hairline goes down. You've got a critical period. There's a zone in the middle that you can transplant from.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that can be upsetting to hear is young men who are losing their hair early. And that's fine if they don't mind, because shaved heads look great. But if they do mind, and I hear them say, I'm not going to go on any of those drugs, I'm just going to wait and have a hair transplant in another 10 years. Well, you're not going to have enough hairs to transplant. You need to get those drugs early to hold on to the hairs and have a transplant if necessary.
Yeah, so it's important to understand that you are the person who's donating the hair from
yes,
your own head.
Exactly. And it's a marvellous treatment,
yeah.
Done correctly. It's life changing.
It works now. This listener has never had dandruff before, but I've developed a very itchy scalp with an incredible amount of dandruff with clumps developing on my scalp. And she feels the hair is falling out more than normal and that the follicle is noticeable on the end of the hair as it falls out. Concerned
okay.
about that?
So, I think that's important. So there are a few conditions there with big long names, obviously.
Mm.
Pityriasis amiantacea is something she could check out. And it's whereby you can get this, you know, thick crusting growing along a whole trunk of hairs. And it's very easy to treat. She's probably got some seborrheic dermatitis. She may have psoriasis with with scale clumping. She may have folliculitis decalvans. So she's got a significant scalp problem. And just because it's hidden under the hair, it should be treated. So if it was on her face, she'd be treating
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I mean, she does tell us as well that she's taking iron tablets because the hemoglobin is low and the CRP is high. And I'm sure you understand all of that.
Yes.
And could this be a reaction?
No. It's not a reaction and it's not a cause. It's nothing to do with it.
Okay, all right. So you're saying that person needs a little bit of help.
Pop straight into the GP immediately.
Okay. Rosemary, thank you so much. We could keep going for the hour. Great to have you with us. That's Rosemary Coleman. I know Rosemary mentioned a particular a hair transplant clinic. And you've no connection to it.
I have no connection.
And there are lots of other.
Is that okay?
Absolutely fine. No, absolutely fine. But we have to let people know.
Oh, yes.
There are lots of 100%
no connection.
Clinics available. Rosemary, lovely to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.